Can't talk long, halfway out the door. On my way to a hookah lounge. What? You don't think I'm hip enough to go to a hookah lounge? Well, I worried about that myself. For starters, I didn't know what a hookah lounge is. Now, I see them popping up usually around colleges, but they sound illegal, don't they? Like opium den? But surely not, what with hookah painted in big letters outside. So I did some research. The smoke is inhaled through a long tube of a hookah pipe and passes through a water bowl to cool and purify it. Simple. In Southeast Asia, the hookah pipe is called a shisha. Elsewhere, it is called a hubble bubble. I'm not advocating hookah smoking or denouncing it. I'm reporting. As the saying goes, I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Hookah cafes are popular social places in the Arab world, and the first recorded mention of hookah was in Persia in the 1500s. The Brits discovered the pleasures of hookah during the British Raj colonial era in India in the late 1800s. The United States discovered hookah in the 60s and 70s, and now again. Here, an average pipe costs about $15 or $20 and lasts about 40 minutes. But in upscale lounges, the price can go up to $150. Usually, no alcohol or food is served in a hookah den, only soft drinks, tea, and coffee. So, armed with this information, I strolled into my neighborhood hookah lounge. I tell you, I was a bit disappointed with the decor. I had hoped the place would be dripping with Persian rugs and brightly colored satin pillows with tassels. I imagined I would sit cross-legged, puffing from an ornate water pipe and blowing out colored smoke rings like the caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland. Wrong. Wasn't like that, except for the water pipes. The hookah lounge itself was chock-a-block with low tables, sofas, and chairs. Comfortable but ordinary, like college apartments, I remember. I was there right after work, and the place was practically empty except for two very young men sitting in a corner. And I said to the waitress, "It's my first time here. Where do I sit and what do I do?" She guided me to ordering a mango-flavored tobacco. Then one of the young men came over and said, "If you're alone, would you like to join us?" Now, I've watched enough true crime TV shows to have second thoughts, but only for a split second. I jumped right into their party, and soon we were joined by the mother of one of the young men, a nurse who often works 36-hour shifts. She and her son meet weekly at the hookah lounge to spend time together. They said it's quieter than dinner out and costs about the same. The three of these people showed me the ropes, how to smoke and savor the flavored tobacco, how to lean back and relax and talk quietly, how to enjoy a cup of hot chai with the hookah. They told me that the place is completely different later at night, with music, lots of people, and sometimes belly dancers. What I liked best was the gentle smell of the tobacco. It clung to my clothes and to my hair, and I drove home thinking how nice and welcoming the three people had been, and how vaguely relaxed I felt, as if I'd shed a heavy coat. I drove home singing, "I'm hooked on hookah, and hookah's hooked on me." And then I got home, and everything changed. A call on my message machine was the veterinarian's office, saying they were closing for the day, and I had forgotten to pick up my cat. He'd have to spend the night there. Forgot my cat? Oh, egregious, slattern pet owner am I! The guilt kicked the hookah right out of me. Now I'm going to have to go back to the hookah lounge and begin my research all over again. I've taped a note to myself on the dashboard. Do not forget to pick up cat or dog.